The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, well, this 12th day of January. Whoa. Boy, this month is going by very fast. 2022. And we're going to start out tonight. Well, we have the Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
And with us tonight, we have that all-natural herbal lady from Apothecary Herbs, Miss Wendy Wilson. Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Pastor. Hello.
Hello. It's good to have you back. And
thank you.
Wendy, you know, today, in the last 3 weeks, Wendy, I've lost three very good friends. First it was Ed Corsi, then Dan Schaefer, and then Denver Sally. These are all long time, very long time dear friends of mine. They all went home to be with the Lord. And today, this morning at 5 a.m., Pastor Bruce Pfeiffer went home to be with the Lord. And wow. So I just wanted to say to his wife Cheryl and his children and grandchildren, I want to just say our most sincere, very sincere condolences. Pastor Bruce is, you know, normally this time tomorrow morning, him and I would be sitting, he'd be sitting next to me at our Thursday morning men's prayer breakfast. And he was a long, long time associate pastor of mine and in the church, and he worked with me. He was a great husband, a wonderful father, and grandpa. And Bruce, you couldn't help but like Bruce. He was adamant pro-lifer. And even at the age of 79 years old, you would find him at least one or two days a week out there in the dead of winter or the heat of summer. He would be on the streets in front of those bloody abortion mills preaching. And with the others from the Doers of the Word Church. So it's just something how it seems like, Wendy, it seems like the Lord is saying, all right, you guys have fought a good fight. You've run a good race. I'm going to take you home before things get really nasty down there. And, you know, it just seems that way. And all of these men were good Christian men, and all of them were good patriots. And tomorrow morning, in fact, they're going to have the service for Denver Sally. Denver will be buried at St. Helens Catholic Church there at 12060. That's 12060 Kinsman Road. Well, that's right across from Punderson Park. It's right across the road from Punderson Park. And that's St. Helens Catholic Church. And where that's at, that's about, oh, I would say about 1 mile. 1 mile west of Route 44 on Route 87, there in Newberry. And Jay McPhillips, the priest, a longtime pro-activist, pro-lifer, Jay. Jay was with me in the early days, Wendy. I headed up the first the first Operation Rescue, that the bloody abortion mills back in the 80s out here. Before that, we called them something else. But anyhow, and Jay McPhillips, the pastor there, was with me, and he was a good friend of Denver. Denver was 78, and he was a great... Well, Denver was an adamant pro-lifer, an adamant pro-lifer. And he was the fellow that would go around and he would put up 144 crosses in churchyards. And he loved homeschooling. He was a major, major homeschooler. Him and Pastor Bruce were so much alike in that way. They were great husbands. And I just want to say, too, our dearest condolences to Marcia, Denver's wife. And so here tonight we have two wonderful ladies that are widows, but they know that their husbands are really happy where they're at tonight. So there you go. Well, Wendy, you ready to get started?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The title of this message, Wendy, was from Psalm 19:9, "A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." And boy, Wendy, I've never seen so much lying going on, especially just recently with the January 6th, they call that select committee. You talk about a corrupt committee. Unbelievable, the corruption and the illegitimacy. I mean, absolute illegitimacy of that so-called select committee.
Yeah. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hearing a little bit of static.
But, I am too.
Uh-oh, that's not good. All righty, we're going to start tonight in Ephesians chapter 4, and you feel free to jump right in with a question, anytime you have a question. And we're going to be in verses 25 through 32. And, Craig, you let me know if it looks like... if we're getting any calls from any of the states, any of the stations trying to... Okay, very good. So we're going to start tonight in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him that labor, worketh him, work with his hands, in the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And so here, let's start out. "Wherefore, putting away lying." Can you think of some really good examples of lying we've had here recently?
Well, the COVID.
Well, yeah, that entire thing. You remember Russia hoax? You know, that was just a major, major things of life. But January 6th, you talked about lies. We showed a film in church on Sunday of what actually took place on January 6th. And that reminds me, folks, we're going to have a correction. We were going to re-show that film this week, but instead, we're going to show the entire film of Reiner Fulmich and the 50 lawyers. They're going to begin their trials for those that have violated the Nuremberg Code. Those that have violated, and they're going after Mr. Fauci. They're going after these people now. These are international lawyers. There's a group of them for genocide. For genocide. So we're going to be showing that film, Lord's willing, this coming Sunday at, and I believe, no, that one will be this coming Sunday, I believe, at about 4:30. About 4:30 this coming Sunday, we'll be showing that. So anyhow, so we see that. We saw, I mean, just outrageously. And then you had Mr. Biden. Mr. Biden, when he said, he just had a, he gave a speech, and he said, to take a passage from the good book, we hate evil and we love good. Now, that's what Biden said. What's wrong with that statement, Wendy?
He said he took it from the good book?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Then he says they hate evil and love good?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that he loves abortion?
Well, yeah, he's for it.
I mean, is he is the most pro-abortion. He's even as bad as Obama. So, he's come out, he loves abortion. He loves the killing of the children. Would you say he loves sodomy?
Well, I'm not sure. Has he said anything? I must have missed it if he did.
Oh, he's 100.
He's for LBG and all that. Yeah.
He's 110% for that. And
okay.
Especially for the transgender stuff, him and Mr. Milley announced in the military. They want to really push sodomy. Now, would you say that abortion is evil?
Well, yes, it is.
Would you say sodomy is evil?
Yes, it is. God says so.
Would you say pedophilia is evil?
Yes.
Can he keep his hands off little boys and girls?
I don't think he can. I mean, we've been hearing he has real issues there.
All right, now, Donald Trump made a lot of promises, and Donald Trump kept his promises. Biden has made a lot of promises. He said he was going to bring the nation together and be a president for all the people. Has he kept that promise?
Not that I can see.
Has he divided the nation more than anyone I've seen in that, even more than Obama?
I believe so.
He said he was going to give us a good economy. He was going to, everybody was going to have a job. He was going to cut the unemployment down, and everyone was going to have a job. Does everybody have jobs?
No.
No? Well, let me ask you this, the economy. Have you noticed what you're paying for gas recently?
I have, and they just said the oil is going to go to $150
a barrel.
Right.
That'll put it at the pump over $4 at the pump.
Right.
A gallon. Okay. What about? Well, let me ask you this. What about drugs? Are drugs a good thing?
Well, more specific. What drugs are you talking about?
Well, how about fentanyl? Is fentanyl a good thing?
No. Well, you know, you've got these addictive drugs. They're not a good thing.
Well, I mean, we've got fentanyl coming across the border. Now, he is helping the economy of the drug dealers. I mean, he's helping them. They're doing better than ever. They're working right along with the entire Democratic Communist Party. I mean, they're working hand in hand. What about the human traffickers?
Yeah, I mean...
He's helping their economy, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, going back to this here, be angry and sin not. What should we be angry about?
I guess... being upset for the righteousness of God, you have your anger put place.
Should you be angry that they're killing babies?
Yes.
Should you be angry that they're sodomizing the children?
Yes.
Should you be angry that they're killing the elderly in the nursing homes?
Yes.
Should you be angry that those that trust a corrupt government, those that are gullible and they trust a corrupt government, and they've gone out and they've gotten a poisonous poke, and now many of them are dying. And when the fake corrupt news media says that they're dying because they caught the COVID from the unvaxxed, should you be angry that so many people have been duped so much?
Yeah, frustrated and angry at them being lied to, and then it's, you know, and making the people that are really truly know what's going on the scapegoat.
He says, give no place to the devil, neither give place. How do you give place to the devil?
I guess you dwell on what he's trying to get you to think on.
Well, when you sin, when you violate God's laws, okay, transgress the laws of God, now there's two types of ways you can do that. You can sin with sins of commission or sins of omission. And so here, the Lord Jesus actually preached on sins of omission more than commission, didn't he?
Right.
We find that in Matthew chapter 25. In fact, where when you fail to do this, when you fail to do that, when you fail that, those are our sins. No. So here, when we fail to stand against the killing of the children, the killing of the elderly, the killing of those that have been duped and trusted, When we fail to stand against the pedophilia and these things there, we're giving place to the devil, aren't we?
Right.
He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor and work with his hands. Well, AOC says if you don't want to work, you shouldn't have to work. That people that do want to work should support those that don't. What do you think about that?
Yeah, try it. No.
No. But Obama says that they're going to transfer the wealth. There's going to be a transfer of the wealth from those that have earned it to those that deserve it. In other words, Obama says you don't have to earn it to deserve it. You deserve it if somebody like him or AOC says you deserve it. What do you think of that?
No, that's wrong.
Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Have you heard some of what these so-called politicians, have you heard the language of the squat? Have you heard those women talking?
I try not to listen to them, but I do know what you're talking about.
The foul language today, everywhere you turn, everything, like we had some clips. There's a guy, in fact, that's running for governor, and this guy is he's a former military man. He's running for a governor out of Ohio, some other state. And he's what he's saying, he wants to get America back. He wants to do things, the right things, but unfortunately, see, this fella, he's been indoctrinated by the language of illusion and confusion, the foul language. So this clip that I had, he was going to play, which would really, I mean, he really comes down hard on those that fail, on the Republicans that fail to take a strong stand. I mean, a really strong, hard stand. But I can't play the clip because he uses some profanity in there. And does, by using profanity, does that make men sound more masculine?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, it doesn't. So what does using profanity do?
I generally, it means that you... You weren't able to think of an alternative word that wasn't offensive.
Right. And, you know, that reminds me of a time I was preaching. We were preaching it out at the Sodomite parade. And I had this young Sodomite that was running around screaming, and he was yelling. using the profanity, especially the F word. And I told him, I said, you know, there's usually three reasons why people like you speak the way you do. He says, there are. I said, yeah, there are. He said, what are they? I said, well, one is you have a very limited vocabulary. Two, you've had a very poor upbringing. And three, you're not very smart. And, of course, he came back, are you telling me I'm an effing idiot? I said,
sorry. Oh, man, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah, that's what he said. He used that word. And so I said, you've got it. That's it. That's the reason. So, but you see, here's what the Bible says. It says, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying. Now, what does edifying do?
It lifts people up.
All right, so when we, over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says we're to rebuke, but then it says we're to do what? Remember,
are we going to 1 Timothy? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, and for, no, 2 Timothy 4 says we're to reprove, to rebuke, and then exhort. So when the language that edifies is when you exhort people, okay, to do what? To do that which is good, to use good language, okay? He says here, in his hands the things that which is good, okay? In other words, labor, work, do an honest working, earn an honest living with your hands, but do that which is good, so that he may have that, and the Lord will provide for you to help provide for others. Now, and then it goes on to say here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit?
Sin, basically.
Absolutely, sin. Idleness, though, be you doer of the word, not a hearer only. So, by being a hearer only in idleness, you grieve the Holy Spirit, don't you?
Right. Does the Bible speak more specifically about what happens when the Holy Spirit is grieved?
When you grieve the Holy Spirit, okay, he'll grieve you.
And okay,
so,
right.
So he's really good at grieving you, all right?
Yeah.
See, what that means is he'll humble you. He will humble you. And, you know, and you'll find out over in Hebrews chapter 12, it tells you more depth how that's done. But here, so, and then he says, and be you kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgives, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So how do we get forgiveness?
How do we give it?
How do we get it?
We have to humble ourselves and ask for that and repent.
It's repentance that brings, absolutely. I mean, you call upon the name of the Lord, okay? And so, very good. Well, we'll be, hang tight. We'll be back right after this one more.
Big John. Big John.
He was born of Elizabeth, the son of Zechariah, sent by God the Father to proclaim the Messiah. He was as bold as a lion, he knew no fear. An awesome man in a coat of camel hair.
Big John.
Big John. Big Baptist John.
Big John.
In the wilderness of Judea, you could hear him there. He was preaching repentance. It was very loud and clear. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Better listen, Pharisee. He preached to the sinner, the thief, and the liar. Only one way out of that burning lake of fire. The truth thundered forth from this righteous man, and those that believed found the promised land.
Big John,
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Chosen by the Father to baptize the Son. It was there in the Jordan this awesome thing was done. The Holy Ghost descended as if it were a dove. A mighty voice thundered from heaven above. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John, his friend, none greater than he. He told all the people about God the Son. He never quit preaching till the job was done.
Big
Baptist John.
Big John.
Now 2,000 years later, the story is still being told. How he was thrown into prison for being so bold. He was martyred for God. To him it was an honor. He earned himself a mansion in heaven way out yonder. Big John. Now John's enemies, they perished in their shame. But John took his place in the Saints' Hall of Fame. Now in heaven above, the angels understood. When John preached repentance, he sure did it good. Baptist John. Now there's one thing John wants you to know. It's a fearful matter to lose your own soul. So call upon the Lord while you still can. And better take the advice of this mighty righteous man.
Big John. Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist John.
Big John.
Big Baptist 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 John. Well, I'm going to tell you, one of these days I'll meet him. I'll meet Big Baptist John. We'll be looking forward to meeting him. Because the Big Baptist John, he meant what he said and said what he meant. And he was, well, like Jesus said, men born of women, there's none greater than Baptist John, John the Baptist. I wanted to do this too, Wendy. We had I see here we have a prayer request again from my old friend Nancy Mihalik. Her son Michael is very, very ill. He's in intensive care, and they're asking for prayer for him. And so, let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to hold Michael up again tonight, Lord God, and just ask you. Told us to pray without ceasing, and that's what we do. We do that, and so. We just would want to hold him up and ask, Lord, Father God, and we know that these other fellows, well, they were all in their 70s, but Michael's not. He's a very young man. And so, Lord, we just want to hold him up to you and ask, Lord, that you might touch him and that he might be healed. This things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Tomorrow morning we'll be having our prayer meeting, as we always at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 9 o'clock. 9 a.m. at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 147 81 Sperry Road there in Newberry. And we hold our nation up and each other up. And boy, does our nation need prayer today. Wendy, what have you been up to?
Well, you know me. I'm always up to something, right?
Yep.
Were we going to talk about the life insurance? I think we were, right?
I'll talk about anything you want to talk about, but you know what? Seeing how that you're talking about that, it kind of goes with a film I'm going to play at 11 o'clock, and you need to listen to that. But, yeah, let's talk about the life insurance.
Well, you know, will it pay out on plagues like COVID? You know, that's a big question. It's been batted around a little bit. And, you know, you got to wonder if the life insurance industry... How is it going to handle mass death with regards to a plague? And is COVID considered a plague? Well, if we consider how governments are handling it, I would say yeah. But recent reports are saying the death claims are up 40%. And I think you heard that, Pastor. So
that's the largest one of the largest insurance companies there out of Indiana. It's a $40 billion company?
Well, it's across the board for all the insurance carriers, but, you know, death claims are up. okay? And the public's being reassured that if their life insurance policy is in good standing, they're being told that there's nothing to be concerned about. Actually, one website was investigating this topic, and this was Investopedia, and they posted this in September. They said, as long as life insurance policy is in good standing and the premiums are current, it doesn't really matter how the policy holder dies. And if a person dies as a result of COVID-19, their beneficiaries will almost certainly receive the policy's death benefit. Exceptions would be travel insurance and some other types of policies with exclusions. Almost certainly. Well, the phrase almost certainly kind of jumped out at me. And so I started looking into this a little bit more. What can happen is that, you know, some benefits could be held up due to clerical problems or beneficiaries that are not updated or perhaps loopholes the insurance companies may try to exploit. And there is a reason, Pastor, why there's lawyers who specialize in life insurance claims. You know, it's a whole specialty. Let's talk about the loopholes, you know. So according to one life insurance lawyer's website, it is in the insurance company's best interest to find loopholes to deny or delay your benefit payment. One lawyer that specializes in this field said that most beneficiaries receive a denial of a claim letter, often citing a law to make the letter more official in hopes the recipient drops their pursuit of the claim. And one tip the lawyer did give was, should you receive such a letter, do not delay in seeking help to answer it, because a delay in a response can prolong an insurance claim for years. This is lifeinsurancelawyer.com. They said life insurers do have the right to delay or deny a claim, but some of the excuses insurers use in delaying claims are not legitimate, but are an attempt to convince the beneficiary their claim is invalid. So, you know, when I worked in healthcare, I was helping out anesthesia group girls one day, and they were dealing with some claims on, I think it was a Blue Cross Blue Shield carrier that was denying these payments for the patients. And it was, at that time, it was Blue Cross's Blue Shield's policy to run you around in circles hoping you give up and go away. You know, that was their whole agenda, to not have to pay on your medical bill. Let's talk about the denial letter, Pastor. So if you filed a claim for life insurance and you received a denial letter, it most likely will include quotes from your policy on exclusions, which will be difficult to understand because they use a lot of legal terms and ambiguous definitions. They'll have a list of state statute laws supposedly supporting their denials. Also, other information intended to convince the beneficiary the claim is rightfully denied under the law, and also will let you, it will tell you the policy was maybe lapsed, possibly due to a premium increase. So, who do you suppose writes these denial letters, Pastor? Oh. Have any idea?
No, you tell me. I would probably say those that are involved with the vaccines.
Well, the it's not attorneys that write denial letters to people filing life insurance claims. It's basically claim examiners that are hired by the insurance company. And you always want to look, because the devil's in the details. So having an experienced life insurance lawyer look over your policy is going to be really important. And there are contract laws, and life insurance policies can fall under them. So don't count on the press release from the insurance commissioner saying your life insurance will pay out. Even on COVID death, the policy will actually be dictated by what is written in it. Okay, and how the state laws are. And here's the other thing. Almost all of your life insurance policies do not pay out because of an act of war. Claim is automatically denied. That's one of the exclusions that most of your insurance policies will have is active war. They do not pay out benefits if it's determined an act of war or caused the death of the insured. I want you to keep this in mind, though.
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, keep it in mind. If it's determined that another country released a bioweapon on the United States, guess what?
That's an act of war.
It is.
And China has admitted that they've done that. China admits that they've done that.
Yeah, so do you think the insurance company would use that?
Yeah, I think they would.
Yes. You're so right. Now let's look about a list of companies who deny or delay life insurance claims on a pretty regular basis. All of your life insurance companies are going to try to wiggle out of paying the death benefits or at the very least delay it so you end up in a legal knot. So insurance companies have numerous reasons they can use to delay or deny claims at their disposal. And quite honestly, we should expect a denial letter as soon as you actually file a claim. Just be prepared for it. Now, if you've got a little bitty life insurance policy that's mostly, you know those late night ads they used to have on TV? I don't know if they still run them. You know, small little burial life insurance that everybody qualified for, a couple thousand bucks, right? Usually insurance companies don't really, delay those. They just pay those. We're talking about, you know, the $250,000, the $500,000 policies. That's the ones you're going to see them kind of, you know, dance about. So here's a list of insurance companies that often try to send you denial claim letters. American General, or also known as AIG, Cigna, Liberty Mutual, Lincoln National, New York Life and AARP, Northwestern Mutual, Primerica Life and Prudential, as well as Transamerica and Unum Life Insurance. So those are the ones on a fairly routine basis automatically send you the denial letter. Now, Pastor, if you recall, I have mentioned in the past that the medical industry technology can influence insurance companies and even employers. Okay, so genetic tests signal to insurance companies that you would not be a really good client for them and may even deny your coverage up front. There was a study at the University of Melbourne, this was September 2013, which said insurance companies are discriminating against applicants who have genetic results suggesting possibility they may have cancer later in life. So also applicants for life insurance are encountering life insurance companies putting a hold on writing policies or enforcing a wait period if a person has had COVID or tested positive for COVID. Uh-huh. So the life insurance area, as we mentioned, is kind of rattled right now. They had a 40% jump in the death claims. Now, the problem is kind of serious, Pastor, because the deaths are those who were vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. I've got articles here, a number of them here, at Darting Station, where 100% of the employees, 100%, were fully vaccinated. Just had two-thirds of its entire workforce tested positive for the COVID. Mm-hmm. And so here, the articles I've got here are unbelievable. But most people, they don't know. They just still, I'm just amazed how. Here you go. Fully vaccinated are super spreaders of COVID. Virus shows Ontario data. Contrary to popular belief, a significant portion of Ontario hospitalizations are fully vaccinated individuals. Here you go. Twitter complicit in genocide by censoring large-scale study revealing ivermectin can prevent 68% of the deaths. No, that's a different one. But here, what you're saying, the vast majority of these people that are dying we're fully vaccinated people.
Right. Well, you know, so you've got the spike in these death claims. It happened after the vaccine was released for use. Now, one insurance company that was established in 1877, I think this is the one you were thinking of in Indianapolis, they said, quote, the death rate is up 40% compared to pre-pandemic levels, and these deaths are occurring in working-age people between the ages of 18 and 64. We're seeing the highest death rates seen in history of this business, and not just our company. The data is consistent across every player in the business, end quote. So if you notice, the working-age people are dying off faster.
Well, not just those. I had a clip, and I wanted to play it, but unfortunately, it's a lot of video in there. But it lists the people, the athletes, you know, the basketball players, soccer players, football players, dancers, all kinds of athletes, all of these people out there, and it shows them, you know, it's filmed of them dying, and it goes on, and guess what? 100% of them were vaxxed. 100% of these, it shows you over and over, them dropping dead over there on the fields, dropping dead, dancing.
Okay.
So.
Yes, well, I mean, but we don't want to miss this important point here. So you have those that have been working age dying off, 18 to 64. Who would be left to be insured and to pay premiums, right? There's
yeah.
the possibility that these insurance companies could go bankrupt, even if they are supposed to have financial reserves in place. I think as time goes on, the premiums are going to start to go up, more claims denied, and the courts are going to be clogged with lawsuits. And don't forget, did you hear about that celebrity Bob Saget? He did that TV show Full House. And
Yeah, he's been all over the news, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, he died 3 weeks after getting his booster shot.
Yeah.
Oh. He was 56.
Yep, they're dying left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not hearing that part about the booster shots. The other thing is what they don't tell you, what people still don't understand, and we've said this time and time again, according to the CDC, they don't consider you vaccinated until 15 days after you get the poisonous poke, the jab. And so what's happening, the vast majority of those people that are dying, they're dying within that 15-day period. But what's happening is they're not marking them down as dying from the jab, and they're doing it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much corruption and so much death.
Yeah.
So... Okay. And I have so many articles here on this. Here's another thing. You know, they're trying to break the country. They're trying to. Did you know the U.S. Army now is offering enlistment bonuses of $50,000, trying to get new recruits? Now look, on one hand, they're throwing people out of the military. If they won't take the shot, you got like 30,000 Marines that are refusing it. One third of all the Navy SEALs and Special Forces have refused. And so on one side, they're throwing these people out. They're destroying our military. They're destroying the people that say, look, no, I'm going to stand on principle. I see what you're doing. And I'm talking about the smartest and the brightest are going to say, there's no way am I going to take it. No way. And so those are the people they're getting rid of. They're destroying our military. These people, you know, when Joe Biden said he was going to defend the Constitution against all of those enemies, his enemies, foreign and domestic, Joe Biden and the Democratic Communist Party is America's worst enemies. Joe Biden and the Democratic Communist Party, including all of those, the FBI, the Department of Justice, all of those that have been weaponized against the American people. And so everything that he says turns into a lie. It's unbelievable. So
well, did you say when they speak to you, they tell you lies and they mean that the opposite's going to happen? You've said that.
Well, yeah, they'll always do that. Biden will. They'll always do the opposite of what they say. They have to. It's their nature. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 8, they're like your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. And here's what the children of Satan embrace. They embrace whatever God's word in the Bible calls sin. What is the one of the worst sins in the Bible? Killing of the children. God brought the worst punishment on a nation. He would reduce them to cannibalism for that horrible sin of killing their children. The Democratic Communist Party, they can't kill enough children. They can't. Okay, what else is there? You know, the Bible talks, too, about respecting and taking care of the elderly. They want to kill off all the elderly in the nursing homes. Whatever the sin is, sodomy, whatever that sin is, it's right in. It's the entire Democratic Communist Party platform. If it's a sin, they embrace it. And so here, telling the truth is totally foreign to these. They can't tell the truth. It's not even in them to tell the truth. I watched that illegitimate case and listened to them, and I just wrote down what they were saying. Every single one of them got up there. And not only that, Wendy, they boast about who's their best liars. Remember how they used to brag about Bill Clinton? Not only being a good liar, but being a great liar, and he was our liar. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And so, and by the way, speaking of that, did you hear Hillary? Remember, we told you a while back, we told you a couple of months ago, that old Hillary is out now, and she's looking to try to run it for a third time. Hillary's in trouble. She knows one thing. When the Republicans take over the House again, if they get back, if we actually have another fair election, an actual election, that Hillary knows she's in big trouble. But she knows one thing, even during the midterms, if she's running out there because that investigation is leading right, it's led right to Hillary. The whole thing with the fake China thing, Durham's investigation. But Hillary knows that if she's running out there, then she'll have all of the fake news media, those hyenas will be out there saying they're going after Hillary because she's running. She knows that. But not only that, but she knows if she doesn't get the White House and the Republicans get back in there, especially if it's Trump, she has to get out of the country or she's going to jail because that investigation, there's so much crime. The Clinton crime cartel. You got 100 dead bodies, and all of it points right towards Hillary. So, there you go.
Yep.
And did you know here? Good example, Wendy. Exclusive smoking gun lawsuit reveals Fulton County 2020 absentee ballots results were physically impossible. And files were modified, which we knew that all along. Now, they had people, I believe, how many people? I said it yesterday, like it was 140-something people. No, it was more like 200-something that they filmed stuffing those drop boxes that they put out there. And the average one was bringing in 2,800 phony ballots. And here, I've got below is the image of data of actual ballots scanned by Unit 5162. It's just unbelievable. The corruption, I mean, just right in your face. You remember the films you saw when they closed down, they brought all these false, phony ballots from underneath the tables?
Right.
You remember they were pulling that out? Well, they've got so much stuff in so many states. And that election was as illegitimate. That election was as illegitimate as that committee that calls itself the January 6th elect committee or select committee.
Could you imagine, Pastor, if that ever got overturned and Biden was, you know, out of the White House, right? That ever got overturned. Do you know what kind of shot in the arm that would give America?
Well, something is going to happen. Look, Biden's getting worse day by day. They want to get rid of Kamala Harris. I mean, they want to get rid of her, okay? And so,
is she doing anything? I haven't heard much about what she's doing. What is she doing?
That's what she does. She cackles.
She cackles, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what she does. But what they want to do is they want to get rid of her and, I guess, bring in Hillary. They want to replace her with Hillary. And then who would you say would be one of the biggest traitor Tories out there today, especially on that panel there? I'll give you a hint. She's blonde, okay? And her last name is Cheney. And so they want to, Liz Cheney, they want to get Hillary in Kamala Harris' place. They want to buy her out and then find old Joe unfit to, you know, mentally unfit, move Hillary up to the presidency and then bring in Liz Cheney. That's one of their plans. They've got a number of plans or scenarios that they want to do, and that's one of them. But here's the other thing. Folks out there, write this phone number down. It's from Apothecary Herbs. I got your package in the mail today, Wendy.
Okay.
And I'm going to mix up that potion tomorrow. And for that, because I've had that. When we get back from the break, tell folks about that, what you told me about that cough that lasts a long time. Because I've had cough now I've had it for about 3 weeks now. Write this number down, folks. It's 866-229-3663. This is Apothecary Herbs. Many of you might have that. 866-229-3663. You want to write that down. You want to get this catalog. You'll love this catalog. You'll love it, okay? Or you can go to www.thepowerherbs.com. That's www.thepowerherbs.com. When we come back, we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back from the break, I want you to tell the people what you told me, because I've had this dry cough. It's like a tickle in your throat, like a feather in your throat or something, and I can't seem to shake it. And I've noticed some other people have got the same thing. Well, we'll talk about that. We're coming up to a break. And so, meanwhile, again, that number for Wendy for thepowerherbs.com is 866-229-3663. Believe me, folks, you'll want this. You want this catalog. You really will. I've been using this stuff for years. It's good, natural, herbal medicine. So, hang tight. We're going to be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Fight the fight. Take a stand. Light the light. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.